We're talking today on the long line with Terry Dietrich, president of the American Farmers and Ranchers. He's just finished up some meetings with the Oklahoma Congressional Delegation, all a part of also the National Farmers Union legislative fly-in as Congress returns from the August congressional recess. Terry, as you've had a chance to go to D.C. to hear from Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack, hear from NFU leadership, and now talk to our Oklahoma folks in Congress, what's the mood of the ship right now regarding farm policy right now inside the Washington Beltway?
Well, it depends on which side of the aisle that you're talking to. Some are very pessimistic, some are optimistic. However, Congressman Lucas, chair of the House Ag Committee, still is emphatic, saying we will have a farm bill. Now, will we have it by September 30? No. And that's really when the extension expires. But the 49 law still is in effect, and it really would have no effect until January 1. So they really have from September 30 to January 1 to finalize a farm bill before the old 49 law would kick in. And that's another thing that we're working toward here. We want to keep the 49 law as a permanent law, that any time there is a farm bill that is not renewed by a specific time or extended, then it will revert back to the 49 law, and everybody says, boy, that would be impossible. Well, we need that impossibility to hold over the Congress's heads so that they will get us a farm bill. That's been the insurance that we would get a farm bill. Now, the downside to an extension at this point is that it's going to cost us about $5 billion a year for every year it's extended out of our budget baseline, and eventually we dwindle down to zero, and we have no money for a farm bill. And just $5 billion will hurt it a lot. Also, with the extension, it leaves out a lot of things such as funds for livestock disaster programs, which we desperately need for our ranchers in Oklahoma and that part of the country. It leaves out conservation programs, just a whole lot of programs that need to be a part of the farm bill in order to go forward. So we are absolutely not in favor of an extension. We want a farm bill. We want a farm bill now. And there's no reason why they can't get it done. You know, it just amazes me how a few who absolutely are willing to buck the tide, and there's no compromise in their vocabulary whatsoever, and they've been able to kind of hold this Congress hostage. You know, one of the things that's been pointed out is that this Congress has passed fewer bills than any Congress in the last 60 years, and it's simply because of the deadlock up here. And some of the bills that they have passed are just message bills. They just want to send a message, even though they may get defeated, they've sent a message. So hopefully it's getting urgent enough that we're going to get more cooperation. Congressman Lucas really feels like the SNAP programs, which is Supplemental Nutrition, which is the welfare programs, food stamps, etc., will get out of the House probably or be brought up in the House probably by the beginning of next week, and then it will go on to conference, and he's hopeful that once it gets to conference that there can be cooperation from the Senate conferees and the House conferees to connect the SNAP programs back with the farm bill, which garners for us more urban support to get a farm bill passed. And I know we as farmers, we've always said, why do they have food stamps as part of the farm bill? Well, first of all, 16 cents out of every one of those dollars finds its way back to the ag community. And it also brings urban votes. And we just don't have enough votes in the farm community anymore. So we need all the help we can get.
Beyond Mr. Lucas, what are you hearing from the rest of the Oklahoma Congressional Delegation?
Finding strong support for Congressman Lucas. he's looked upon by our delegation for the most part as the expert on farm legislation. There's one of our delegation that did not support him at the beginning and may not now, but kind of falls in that category that they feel they were sent here to fix the budget regardless of whose back it's fixed on. And so we have a little issue there, but we're working with them, and I did find a cooperative spirit. At least they listened to us this time. At least they gave us an appointment this time. So basically, all in all, we have had an appointment in every one of our Oklahoma delegation offices and feel very positive about our Oklahoma delegation as a whole at this time.
Terry, I know that, of course, the organization you're affiliated with at the national level, National Farmers Union, one of those that filed to intervene on behalf of USDA regarding mandatory country of origin labeling. There are several organizations, including National Cattlemen's Beef Association, that filed to try to get an injunction against USDA moving forward with an implementation of the new COOL rule. Federal judge in D.C. has denied that particular request. Your thoughts right now regarding the mandatory country of origin labeling fight?
Well, of course, we're very supportive of our Oklahoma cattlemen, and we feel like that the majority of them have a little problem with the USDA ruling. And for educational purposes to some of the listeners and our members, the COOL's been in place for a couple of years, and when it was put in place, it was an agreement between cattlemen in the United States and various organizations, ours, the Farm Bureau, and others, that probably this was a workable thing. And consumers have told us in almost any survey you want to look at that they are concerned about where their food comes from and how it was produced. And we know that our food in the United States is produced more safely than anywhere in the world. And people want to be able to look at that and see where it comes from. So that was put in place. Now, the World Trade Organization, which we and almost every other ag-producing country around the world is a part of, they're a clearinghouse, and our friends from Mexico and Canada primarily have objected to the way that COOL was implemented over the last couple of years. WTO says they find nothing wrong with the law, it's just the way it was implemented. So USDA then took it upon themselves to change the way they have implemented it, and by doing it in a way that WTO seems to think is acceptable, it brings opposition from a lot of people in the cattle industry. We've not really entered in with a dog in this fight because there are so many mixed emotions, and we have people on both sides of this issue. We have consumers on one hand, which we have to pacify, who want to know where their food came from, and then we have producers on the other hand that says, please don't burden me down with a whole lot of records. And we agree with both sides of that. So the NFU actually filed, as with some others partnering with them, U.S. Cattlemen's Association is one of them, to file an injunction which basically supported USDA's position of, here, let's implement it this way and let's get on down the road. Where this thing winds up, who knows? There's no doubt either way this thing would have gone. There would be an appeal filed. And we just want to get it settled. It's an issue that is causing way too much stir out in the public. And you know, we don't need to be spending good money that we could be using to promote agriculture to fight each other. And so we're really not in favor of the fight. I'm sorry that the NCBA filed the injunction. I'm sorry that there have been others that have had to file to intervene. So we've got more important things we've got to do for our market development, for our producers. We need to get on down the road and quit spending money on an argument.
President of the American Farmers and Ranchers, Terry Dietrich. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.